Good morning. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 36 through verse 50. You know, on the night that Jesus ate that last meal with his apostles in that upper room before he went to the cross, he made this statement. He said, "I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And you know, every time we gather together as a church and we remember that meal and we partake of the Lord's Supper communion that remembers that night, there's a sense in which we all sit down with Jesus, with him together as we eat that supper meal. And so as we prepare our minds this morning to go through that ceremony, and remember Jesus in this kind of way, what I want to do is look at a different meal that Jesus ate with people who were not his disciples necessarily. But in looking at this particular story in Luke 7, we get a glimpse into who our Savior is, and that will prepare our minds to eat with him as we approach him in this supper. We're going to be challenged by the idea this morning that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Read with me, beginning in Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." As we digest what is going on in this scene, I want you to take a second look at what we just read and move through this story with me piece by piece. Notice how we begin in verse 36 with a dinner invitation. Jesus often got invitations from people to eat at their houses. Sometimes he went up to people without an invitation, like he did to Zacchaeus, and just said, "Hey dude, I am going to your house today, so you need to get out of the tree, and we're going over to eat and together." But in this case, it's a Pharisee who approaches Jesus and says, hey, I'd like you to eat with me. And so, Jesus goes over and eats with him. Much to our surprise, knowing what Jesus thought of the Pharisees as, and what he was constantly saying about them to their faces and to his disciples, but he does go to this man's house. And we're not given any details about why Simon gave this invitation. Maybe Simon's just curious about who this rabbi is, and he wants to figure out more about Jesus. Maybe Simon wants to trap him in something that Jesus says, which a lot of the Pharisees, remember, tried to do with Jesus in their conversations with him. Maybe Simon just wants the prestige and the acclaim from the townspeople around him and kind of the notoriety of having this famous guy kind of come over and eat dinner with him. We just don't know exactly what's going on in Simon's mind and why he gives this invitation, but we sure understand what he thought of Jesus based on what Jesus says about what Simon did not do for him. We can tell he's not impressed with Jesus at all. Because Jesus even says, after the woman, this poor sinful woman, is doing all these things, he turns to Simon and he says, you know what? You didn't give me any water to wash the dirt off of my sandaled feet like a normal host would do. You didn't give me any kind of customary greeting of a kiss, like you would normally do if you're a host. You didn't anoint my head with oil and refresh me like a normal host would. You just plopped me down at the table and started serving food. And notice that the text says they're reclining at table. In our culture, we sit up on chairs around this table that's got legs on it. But in those days, if you're going to go to a banquet, you lie down, you recline, and your feet are sticking out behind you as you all kind of recline around this low table. And that's the scene that we have here in verse 36. But then something very surprising happens. There is a very inappropriate interruption. And when we read this story together, as Americans, it sounds really weird, doesn't it? Because if you're given a barbecue at your house on a Friday night for all of your friends and you've invited people over, the last thing you expect to happen is some bum walking off the street and he opens the door into your house and he walks in and he stands right there next to the table and watches you eat your ribs. That would not happen. And if that did, we would be on the phone with the police. But in those days, if you're a rich guy, it is totally normal to open up your doors and kind of let everybody in the town know you're having a banquet, you're having a big dinner, you're inviting your people over, and they are free to come in and kind of just stand around the fringes of your table and kind of listen to the conversation and maybe even pick up some scraps of food after you guys are all done having your banquet meal. That was normal. So that's not the weird, inappropriate part of this story. What is inappropriate is not the woman who walks in the door, the fact that she is walking in the door, but the kind of woman who is walking through the door. That is what catches everybody by surprise. And notice what Luke tells us about her. We don't know her name. We don't know a whole lot more than what we're just told. But notice what he says. Who is she? She is a woman of the city, a sinner. That is probably a kind way for Luke to say that she works in the red light district of the town. That she is probably a prostitute. That's the woman who comes in. And that's shocking to Simon and to everybody else in that room. Can you picture yourself in this scene? Can you stand by this table in your mind and see what's going on? Can you just hear the awkward silence that creeps over the crowd in that room as she comes? Can you see the icy stare that Simon gives this woman as she approaches the table and comes and stands behind Jesus, the man he invited, instead of standing in the corner where she belongs, if she belongs in that room at all. Can you see the alabaster flask that she is holding in her hands as she comes into that room? If nard was in that flask, that ointment is worth hundreds of denarii, maybe even a whole year's worth of wages. Just think of the amount of money that you make in a year, and you go out to a perfume store and you spend it all on a little vial of ointment or perfume. That's what she did. And she comes and she breaks it over Jesus. And by the way, the only way to use this flask would not have been to cork it or uncork it and kind of use some and save some for later. The only way to use this was to break it and to pour it all out on this one single occasion, leaving nothing left over. That's what she did. And can you see as she approaches Jesus, she gives no explanation for why she's here. Did you notice that? She seems to be so overcome by the emotion of being in his presence, knowing who she herself is, that all she can do is break down sobbing. And she falls at his feet. And she starts to kiss his feet. And based on what Jesus says, she did it over and over and over, wetting his feet with her tears. And then she does something else that's shocking, that no normal, respectable Jewish woman would do in this culture. She lets down her hair. And her hair is loose, and she begins to take her loose hair and wipe his feet with her hair. And she breaks the bottle over him and pours out the ointment. And by this time, just picture what she looks like. She looks like a wreck. Her eyes are stained with tears. Her face is red and blotchy. Her hair is a mess by this time, and it smells like dirty feet. Now, just think about this. Ladies, those of you who look so very nice right now, sitting in all of our pews, can you picture yourself in this scenario? Any normal woman would be appalled and would die of embarrassment to be seen publicly like this. She's not thinking about what she looks like. She's thinking about the Lord that she is adoring in this moment. And as Simon looks at this woman, we get a glimpse into what is going on in his mind. This is a disgusting display to him. And he thinks to himself, this cannot be a prophet, because he is the only one in the room who seems to be clueless about who she actually is. She is a sinner. There is no telling where those hands and those lips have been. And he is letting, notice what it says he is thinking. He is letting her touch him. Considering who she is, he's got to be in the dark. He's got to be an idiot teacher. And I love the way Jesus responds to Simon. Did you notice what it says in verse 40? And Jesus answering him. Had Simon said a word? He was just sitting there, totally silent, thinking these things in his mind. But the text says, Jesus answering him said. Jesus could read him like an open book. It's no problem for Jesus to see into the minds and hearts of people. And so Jesus, what does he answer Simon? He first makes sure he's got his attention, and then he tells a parable. And Jesus was such a master at giving these short sayings or stories designed to lead somebody to a spiritual point. And what is the parable about? Very short parable. Two guys are both in debt to this moneylender,
and one owes 50 days' wages, the other guy owes a whole lot more, 500 days' wages. Just think about, you know, if you put this in terms of credit card debt, which one would you like to have? I mean, 50 days is not that great, but 500 days, you are really in trouble. And both of them, when they can't pay, both debts are canceled, and the guy who is lending them money just takes the loss himself. And notice the question that he gives Simon when he says this. He doesn't ask Simon, do you think both of them loved that moneylender? Duh. Yes. No, he makes him choose. He says, pick one, Simon. Which one of these guys do you think loved him more? And Simon said, well, I suppose. If you're going to make me pick, then I'll pick the guy who had the larger debt canceled. And Jesus says, yeah, you've answered correctly. And I love what he says in verse 44. He then gets really personal with Simon. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? And Simon's probably thinking, I haven't seen anything else since she walked through the door. Yeah, this trashy woman who is fondling your feet, this disgusting person that I should just kick out of the room, out of this banquet feast, because she is completely like a fish out of water in my house, respectable Pharisee that I am. Of course I see her. But you get what Jesus is really asking. Do you see this woman? Do you understand, Simon, why she is here? Yeah, it looks inappropriate, but do you realize the situation that's going on here? Do you realize why she is sobbing at my feet? Why she is anointing my feet with oil? Why she is taking her hair down and wiping my dirty, smelly feet that you didn't wash, by the way, Simon? She is adoring me. She is loving me. She understands who I am. And you don't. Jesus forgives this woman's sins in verse 48 to the amazement of the crowd. And they all ask each other, who does this guy think he is? First, he's clueless about this sinful woman. And now he's got the right to forgive sins. And Jesus sends her on her way when he tells her in verse 50, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. As we prepare to approach the table of Jesus and eat with him, I want to just ask two questions of us this morning. And the first one is this. Are you a 50 or a 500? Which one are you? Now, obviously all of us are sinners. All of us are condemned together under sin. All of us are in need of the grace of God. But you understand what the question is asking, right? How do you think of yourself? How much sin did Jesus forgive you of when you became a Christian and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is Jesus just a spiritual energy drink for you? Or is he your very life? Did Jesus just give your soul a spot treatment when you were immersed into baptism? Or did he completely wash your entire soul of your sin? How do you think about yourself? Were you dead in your trespasses and sins? Or were you just a little bit sick when you became a Christian? You think about how Simon would have answered this question had Jesus said this to him. Which one are you, Simon? He probably would have said, well, you know, I certainly am not perfect. I break the commandments of the Lord on occasion, but I am certainly not like this woman right here sobbing at your feet. This is a sinner
I don't have that kind of distinction myself. Are you a 50 or a 500? And then this question as well. Do you have enough faith when you are at the feet of Jesus? Do you have enough faith to be heartbroken about your sins? Now, this is a rather odd question, isn't it? But isn't that what Jesus is getting at toward the end of this passage, especially in verse 50? What does he say to this woman again? Read this again with me. Why did he treat this woman this way? Verse 50 says, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith is what has caused you to enter this awkward room, bringing this expensive ointment, and to do the kinds of things that you did." And all of this displays belief and faith in me. And notice that he didn't turn to Simon and say the same thing, because Simon doesn't think of himself as a sinner. But this woman is so consumed with the knowledge of who she is that it compels her to throw herself at his feet, doing the kinds of things that she did. If you don't feel anything, or very little, when you think of your sins and you think of Jesus Christ, if you don't see much of a gap there, do we have much faith in Jesus? When is the last time you have cried because of your sins? And I'm not asking when's the last time you were caught doing something that you shouldn't have been doing and you cried because of that. But when is the last time you have been studying, you've been meditating, you've been praying, and you think of who you are in comparison to our Lord and Savior and what He did so that you could have everlasting life? When is the last time you sobbed because of what you realize you've done? Paul said, in 1 Timothy 1, "I am, not I was, I am the foremost of sinners." Can you say that about yourself? If you can, you are ready to approach the table of Jesus this morning and eat this supper with the rest of the sinners who are gathered in this room, and that is every one of us, myself included. I want to end this morning by looking back up in verse 34. This is not a verse that we read when we were going through this text, but I believe this is the key to understanding what is going on here. In verse 34, Jesus is quoting his enemies, and he's talking about what people think about him who are not his disciples. And backing up in 33, he says, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." It is no accident that the story that we have of this sinful woman and this smug, puffed up Pharisee comes right after that statement. It's as if the Holy Spirit is saying, "You think Jesus is a friend of tax collectors and sinners? That's exactly who he is. And let me show you and let me demonstrate to you how that is true. And how he treats this woman in a way that nobody else in this room treated her. Because she realized who she was." Do you and I realize who we are? How are you going to approach the table of Jesus this morning? As a Simon or as a sinful woman? Appreciate your attention.